And I was sharing this with a family Friday night in their homes. And I was telling them some of the ways that it occurred and how it happened. And they were kind of laughing about it and thought it was pretty neat the way the Lord did things. But when I got saved, I didn't know anything else. See, when I was a brand new believer, I didn't know what else to do, you know, other than, you know, go find a church. And I went to Kmart and bought a Bible and began from that point on. Then they talked about baptism. And I had no problem with that. And they explained what baptism meant. And so I remember the Sunday that I got baptized, I brought in all these friends. Half of all of them were unsaved. I brought my family in. My father wouldn't come. He was still opposed to it. And this whole row of people were all there to watch. And I was so excited about getting baptized, I forgot about bringing a towel, change of clothes. So I just had to get up there and all my blue jeans and all the clothes that I had. And I was utterly soaked. And they did it towards the beginning of the service. And I remember the rest of the service, I was just completely soaked. But I couldn't wait to get baptized. And to me, it was a tremendous expression of following Jesus and wanting to do everything that He said to do. So, you know, we've never really, I think, made an entire message just dealing with baptism. We're going to do baptism tonight. For those, how many have already been baptized? Raise your hand. All those who have been baptized. And see, I want you to hear about something. It is absolutely a celebration when you get baptized. It's a tremendous picture when everybody else gets to watch somebody getting baptized. Because there's so many expressions to it, but I want you to see something first. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Listen to what it says. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for Him. Then right after that, it goes into describing John the Baptist outdoing John's baptism. And Jesus comes to be baptized. Listen, if you don't know anything else about getting baptized yet, remember that Jesus Christ was the great example in going out and getting baptized. Now, He didn't get baptized in the same reasons or the same way that we do in the sense of acknowledging that we're following Him and acknowledging salvation. You know what His baptism was about? Jesus' baptism was in fulfillment of prophecy. 700 years before Jesus came, God said He's going to send a prophet out. That's John the Baptist. Going to be preparing the way of the Lord. Remember the story in the rest of the Gospels? Jesus, you know, had come to be about 30 years old. He'd already been around about those 30 years. And John the Baptist had been out ahead of Him. And He was doing John's baptism. He was preaching that the Lord's going to soon come. The Lord's going to visit Israel. And that Israel needed to repent and be prepared for the work of God. And thousands were going out and listening to John the Baptist. The Bible says that John the Baptist was the last great prophet of the Old Testament. He was filled with the Spirit of God. And He was baptizing the people out there in the Jordan. And they were all coming to Him. And then all of a sudden, John, in the midst of the water, he looks up. In the midst of his ministry. And he sees Jesus coming down. And the scripture says, he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now listen, you've got to understand the context. It was like a great announcement in the desert. A great announcement for all of Israel. John the Baptist had been doing all of his work. They knew it was a spiritual activity that God had sent a prophet out. And He was preparing them. And Messiah was among them, but He had not yet been announced. He had not yet been introduced to Israel. And on that day, when John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And He came down into the water. John the Baptist said, you know, I have need of being baptized by you. He said of Jesus, I'm not worthy to even bow down and tie the sandals together. And Jesus came to be baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, not because of sin, not in following John's baptism, but as an announcement. The announcement of the arrival of the Messiah of God of the 700 years of prophecies. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of Israel, John's declaring it, John's telling it, John's saying it. And Jesus comes, and the baptism that Jesus took I mean, he just went right into those waters, and it was an announcement. Messiah's come. It's an announcement. You know, a proclamation. Messiah's here. And Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan. And then the voice from heaven, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." And the Bible says that John saw the Spirit of God descend on him and remain on him. Now listen, this is vital. This is the announcement of Jesus and the initiation of his ministry into Israel. From that point on, if you begin to read in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1 and begin to read from that point out, it was that baptism, that announcement, his arrival, and his beginning of ministry. He began to proclaim the gospel, the good news to Israel. He began to heal the sick and deliver and do all of his work for the next 3 or so years. He began to do all of his ministry from that point on. Baptism was a great big thing in Scripture. Big for John, big for Jesus. And let me tell you something. Are you in the Gospel of Mark right now, chapter 1? Go back one page to the Gospel of Matthew. Go back one page, if you need to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Take a look at the Great Commission. Y'all know about the Great Commission, right? Beginning down in verse 16. Chapter 28, verse 16. Yeah, 28, 16. Look what Jesus now does. This is the end. He's already died. He's risen from the dead. And here's what the Bible says. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now take a look at this. This is really tremendous. This is after his death, after his resurrection. Jesus now is bringing the disciples together, and he's announcing for them to, not only does he hold all the authority now, but he's commissioning the early disciples, commissioning the beginning of the church. Every one of us, born again, baptized in the body of Christ, now have the same commission that they've had. And there's a threefold point to the great commission of God. Go into all the world and make disciples. Go out there and lead people to Christ and teach them to become learners of Jesus. Make disciples. Lead them to Christ. Lead them to be born again. Make disciples. Go out everywhere and find them. Go out to the highways and byways. Go to your moms and dads. Go to your grandparents. Go to your young people. Go to China. Go to Europe. Go and make disciples. And then look what's before teaching them everything they need to know. Sandwiched in, bring them to salvation and teach them all the things the Word of God says. Sandwiched in those two things is this thing we call baptism. Baptism is a great celebration. It is part of the Great Commission of God. It is part of his announcing to the world. It is about his public declaration. It is about not hiding the light under a barrel anywhere. It is about letting the world know. Baptism is such a public event. I mean, salvation, when I got saved, man, I came home from a party 28 years ago where somebody witnessed to me, and I couldn't get away from the conviction, nor could I get away from the beauty of Jesus Christ. And that night, in my home, by myself, I accepted Jesus Christ in my life. And I knew that He came in my life. I felt the Spirit of God come into my life. And I knew I was changed. Now, I didn't know what to do from that point, but that was in my basement. That was by myself. Some of you have gotten saved coming forward in church. But let me tell you something about baptism. And you know what? A lot of my studies through the years, and yesterday and all during the so many studies and reading the Word of God and learning and grasping the Word has been by myself in quiet time. I hope you're having a quiet time and reading the Word of God and studying and listening and learning. But let me tell you about baptism. Baptism was never a quiet thing. Baptism was never a thing done hidden somewhere else. If you study history in the early days of Rome, as the Church of Jesus Christ began to move out in all of Rome, Rome, the emperor worship. Rome, the great pagan nation. Rome, the great big empire. In front of all of Rome, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And so in that, in the context of Rome, they had all of these really strange blood cults. Bacchus and all these things. And they had secret baptisms. Even secret societies today, they have secret baptisms. In the Bible, baptism was always meant to be a public flag to the rest of the world announcing something. In John's baptism, the announcing to Israel, Messiah is coming, get ready. In Jesus' baptism, Messiah has come, here he is before you, and here is his ministry. And in Christian baptism, here is a believer who's picked up the cross to follow Christ, confessing him and picturing that great salvation. So baptism is an enormous flag. It's an enormous public event. So when you've gotten baptized, and I hope you got baptized in front of a lot of people, that's why I like doing it out at the lake. That's why I like doing it out there, because there's so many other people out there, and you've all taken banners out there, and you bring the djembes and guitars, and they do worship, and we take people out into the lake, and we baptize them publicly, and you guys are waving the banners, and we're clapping and celebrating, because it is such an announcement. It is such a declaration. It is such a witness. Now listen, I want to give you about three or four reasons this morning why You should, and the church should celebrate baptism all the time. Now, I know there's probably a few among us here too that's not been baptized, and you might have been a believer for a long time. And I want to encourage you about tonight. I want to encourage you to come. I want to encourage you to get baptized as soon as possible and to make it a big event. Bring everybody you can. Bring your aunt, bring your uncle, bring your neighbor, bring your enemies. Let them see you declare something in the act of baptism. What are they declaring? Well, number one, listen, when you get baptized, according here to Matthew 28:16 on down, you are following in obedience to the Great Commission. You are being obedient to the Lord. The church is being obedient. God has commanded the church, win souls to Christ, baptize those souls, and then teach them everything that I've ever taught you. Teach them all the things, and in the context of get them saved, get them baptized, get them taught. In the context of that, Jesus says, and I will be with you. I mean, I'll have hands on. I'll be right among you. I'll be working with you always to the very end of the age. That is the Great Commission. That is the mission of the church. That is the center. We have giftings. We have workings. We have other purposes. We've got teaching. We've got children's workers dressing up like Mexicans. Flea markets to the side. Concerts last night. But the centrality of the mission of God, get them saved. Get them baptized. Get them taught. And I'll be with that. And I'll bless that. And I'll work among that. So let me tell you today that baptism is a big thing. It's as big on the agenda of God as is salvation itself. It's listed in the same context. Not that it saves you, but it announces that you've gotten saved. It repictures the death and the resurrection of Christ again and again and again. But number one reason, follow Christ in obedience. Number one reason for the church to do baptisms, follow Christ in obedience. Baptize the newly saved. If you lead somebody to Christ, get them signed up for baptism. Because you're signing them up for one of their first public witnesses. So that everybody can see and know that in that act of baptism, what they're doing. So out of obedience to the Great Commission, out of obedience to God, the church is to win them, baptize them, teach them. And that's the central context of the mission of God. And we're to love them and care and pray for healing and do all the other ministries we're to do. But here's central mission. This is the reason. So if you've not been baptized, I want to encourage you. You know, out of obedience to the Great Commission. Leaders and those who will be leaders in the future, be absolutely committed to baptism. Because you're waving a great flag. You're announcing to all the world around there That's why I like doing it again, out in the public places, out at a park, out in a lake. Not only so that Christians can see, so that anybody else can watch. I remember years ago, we were doing baptisms out at the lake. We had a number of them. I think we had about 30 of them that summer. And at one of the times, we had about 8 or 9 people. And we were doing baptisms, and we shared the waters a little bit with a friend that was doing some baptism. And we announced anybody else that wants to get saved or anybody else that needs to get baptized. And I don't know if you remember, the two people came out of the crowd that was there that day. And one girl didn't even know what salvation was and was led to Christ standing in the waters by the one that was going to baptize the next person. Because they came over, they were interested, and they were observing, they were watching. And that's how it should be. There should be banners. You know, you think your birthday's something, don't you, right? I was watching on television the other day. I could not believe what I saw. You ever watch those kind of shows or kind of real life, whatever? I just kind of caught a clip of this girl who was going to have her 16th year birthday. Maybe you've seen it on television. And her parents, and they're very wealthy people. As a matter of fact, at the end of her birth, I mean, they had her for her birthday. They rented out this great big hall. They had all this stuff. They brought her in, carrying her on this great big, like almost like a bed, like a couch. They carried her in. She got a Land Rover for her 16th birthday. Her parents spent $200,000 on her birthday. And they were interviewing some of her friends, and some of her friends are saying, if this is what her birthday is like, I can't wait to what her wedding's going to be like. Man, that was incredible, a 16th birthday. Now, if you've ever had a surprise birthday or anything else, and some of you remember how we celebrated Shelley's something-something birthday about a year ago. And we surprised her to no end, didn't we? And she was absolutely... And see, that was public, and it was a display. That's what baptism's about. A public display. Now listen, out of obedience to the Great Commission, I'm going to give you a couple other things. When you get baptized, and when you see baptism, and why we need to make it a tremendous event, you know, and a great celebration, have picnics around it and everything else, is listen, it is a public announcement. In John's baptism, it was a public announcement. When Jesus came to get baptized, it was a public announcement. And when a new believer in Christ comes to get baptized, you are making a tremendous announcement. You are announcing to the world, number one, that you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. This is one of the great opportunities you have to witness to the world, because nobody gets baptized unless they've already embraced Christ. Let me just tell you quickly, you know, I know some people gotten baptized when they were babies, 6 months old. Let me just tell you something. Biblically, no child ever got baptized. In the book of Acts, 30 years of history, it was always believers that got baptized. Those who believed in Christ got baptized. The day of Pentecost, 3,000 people believed on the Lord. 3,000 people were counted and baptized. Could you imagine 3,000 at one time? How long that would take? I know a pastor and read about a pastor in Korea. They had to baptize over, you know, thousands in one day. And he wanted to do all of it. He wanted to baptize everybody. Listen, in the day of Pentecost, when you read the book of Acts, you got to realize something, that it wasn't just Peter baptizing. The rest of the apostles were involved. There were a number of guys, you know, that were baptizing. When 3,000 were counted, they were saved, they are baptized, God gave them the gift of the Spirit of God, and then from that point on, you'll read in the book of Acts, they are devoted to the Word of God and teaching and learning and growing. They became powerful. So when you get baptized, you're announcing to the rest of the world, I believe in Jesus Christ. You're announcing to the rest of the world, I have accepted Christ as my Savior and Lord. You're announcing to everybody else, my beliefs are in the living God of heaven, and my beliefs are in the salvation that Jesus procured at the cross. And I commit my life to Him. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to go after Him. So it's an announcement of your faith in Christ. You're telling everybody, I love Jesus, and I'm saved, I'm born again, and I'm following Him, and I'm letting you know. So announce it. When you get baptized, bring everybody. We need to make baptism a bigger thing than we do, don't we? We need to realize how central it is in the Great Commission, how big it was in John's baptism when Jesus got baptized, and in the early church. Listen, even in the early church and even in the world today, there are cultures that when you get publicly baptized, that's when they say, you know, like especially in Muslim cultures, man, if you just in your heart say, I got saved, that's one thing. But they understand a public baptism. They understand that it's a declaration. They understand that it's a commitment. You are expressing in an outward form what already occurred inside of your heart. Jesus Christ came into your life. Jesus Christ has made you alive. Jesus Christ is you are proclaiming Him Lord, God, and King, and Savior. And you're publicly being baptized. And just if they see it alone, just seeing it, that is your declaration. That is your witness. So if you've ever wanted to be able to stand up and be counted, if you've ever wanted to stand up and honor the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've ever wanted to stand up and picture what salvation is all about, then you announce it in baptism. You announce your faith to all the rest of the world. Amen? Can I give you a second thing that's very important? I mean, not only in obedience to the Word, but listen, announcing your faith. But let me give you another one, a second one. Announcing something else. What happens in baptism is very clearly, we see your commitment. The world sees your commitment. They don't look at the person baptizing. I've baptized thousands of people over the years. I've had the fun of being in the lakes. Can I tell you about a baptism one time? I thought it was the end of my life. He was 340 pounds. And he was blind. And he wanted me to take him into the lakes. So the whole church came out. This is years and years ago. Big Tom, his name. And we took Tom out into the waters. He had a cane, you know, but he just couldn't see. And he was a big guy. And being out in the waters, going up to your chest area in order to get him all the way down to the water, he began to get scared out there. And when we got up to our chest in water, big old blind Tom grabbed a hold of me and began to wobble around. And then all of a sudden his tongs, he lost his tongs and they come floating up on the water. And I knew when he grabbed me like that, that big old 340-pound guy, he grabbed me like that. I knew if he goes down, it's going to be like a rock going down to the bottom of this lake. And if those church people don't come out and get me, I'm gone. But we straightened him out. We encouraged him. We turned him around sideways. And listen, when people get baptized, they're not looking at the person doing the baptism. Wow, what a joy it is for me to do it. John did baptisms, thousands. But as a pastor, you know, I've got to do thousands over the years. And, you know, when we do this in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and they go down into the water, and then they come up out of the water. What a tremendous thing. Who are you watching primarily? You're watching the person getting baptized. Family and friends and others, who are they watching? They're watching the one getting baptized. Because they're the ones announcing their faith. They're the ones, secondly, announcing what salvation is all about. Now, how do you get that? I want you to think about it for a moment. Matter of fact, if you want to mark down, just for study later, in Romans chapter 6, there's a tremendous study there that correlates salvation and the picture of baptism. The picture of baptism is a public picture, a symbolic picture of what salvation is on the inside. Let me tell you really quick how this works. It shows two things. You go to the waters. Guess what happened? By the way, baptism it's just from the Greek word baptizo. And it doesn't never mean to sprinkle. Some of you say, well, I've been sprinkled. Well, that's okay. It's not baptism. Baptism is being immersed into the waters. Totally into the waters and being raised up out of the waters. I mean, baptism, you're soaked. Okay? That's what baptism means. And in the early church, it was complete immersion into the water. So listen, when you see somebody come up and they're following Jesus and you see this person go down into the waters, you're seeing a proclamation. Again, a picture, a snapshot of Jesus Christ. A reminder that Jesus Christ came, that He was crucified on the cross, that He was buried. That's the idea. You're buried in baptism. There's a burying. And you study that in Romans 6, and there's a picture of that. A burying. Jesus was buried, you know, into the ground. And He didn't stay there. The next picture is when you come up out of the water, out of the waters, it's resurrection. He's come back to life. So the picture of baptism is Jesus Christ died and He rose back out of the grave. He's alive again. And so that's what's celebrating, you know, His salvation, His life, His baptism is declaring it all over again. Every time you see it, Jesus died. That's not all what He did. He rose from the dead. Conquering in that act of salvation, in that act of death and resurrection, He conquers sin, sickness, Satan, hell. All of it is conquered right there. So it is a great proclamation. A great proclamation. When you get baptized, you're saying, Jesus Christ died for the world. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He's alive. That's what you're doing. My faith is in Christ. I'm proclaiming that. But I'm also proclaiming Christ. I am proclaiming that He was crucified and was buried, as the Scripture says. And that God raised Him from the dead. And there was a conquering. The sin issue is conquered. The disease issues are conquered. Life and death issues are conquered. Satan is conquered. This is a statement of incredible victory. This picture of baptism is a theological statement to the world of life. And that's what you're doing. So if you're getting baptized tonight, man, when you get into those waters, you're letting everybody know, I follow Jesus Christ. I have been saved. I have been born again. And I believe in Him. And I want everybody to know it. But in these baptism waters, I am proclaiming Jesus Christ has died. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. There's no other event in all of history like this. He is the monogenesis of the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only monogenesis. No one else like Him. So you become a preacher in your baptism. You're preaching by the act of it. Buried and raised. That's part of it, but let me tell you the other side of the coin now. You're not only saying that Jesus was buried and raised and that you believe in Him and that you acknowledge that, but you know what else you're doing? You're saying, like in Romans 6, I also, in giving my life to Jesus Christ, my old life is now buried. I'm burying my old life. And I've been raised in Christ, co-raised in Christ. I've been raised up now to walk and to live a new life. You're speaking about your changed life, your destiny, everything about your life. You are now so identified to Jesus Christ that in the book of Colossians, when it talks about baptism, the Greek word actually is co-buried and co-raised. It's the idea that that Jesus Himself was there and that now He's in you and you are in Him. There is such an identification. There is such a connection. You're truly saved. You're announcing your faith. You're announcing Jesus died and He rose from the dead. But you're also announcing, by the act of salvation, I have given up the old life. It's a statement. When you go in the waters and you're honoring the Lord and you're saying, man, I want to let all the world know Jesus died and He rose, but I want all the world to know too, I've died to the old life. And I've been raised by the power of God to live a whole new life. That's what baptism's about. It is a powerful, powerful picture. It is a demonstration. I've seen baptisms where people just cry. I remember one year, we spent 5 weeks in a month of March. There were 5 Sundays. And we went out everywhere sharing, and we got with another church, and we did a lot of evangelism. 40 people got saved. 26, 27 of those got saved in our own church in 1 month. I remember that Sunday morning early, 2 people got saved that Sunday morning. Sunday morning in that church, I got to baptize 27 people before we even got to sing or preach. One person after another person after another person after another person. The place was packed wall to wall, people in the aisles everywhere. Great celebration was going on. People would applaud each person getting baptized. They'd be applauding, you know, and just it was just a tremendous thing. One by one by one by one by one. 21, 22, 23 baptisms. That was such a proclamation. By the time that was done, we shared salvation again, and another person got saved. And the people that were getting baptized, they're getting blessed. Some of them would cry. Some of them felt the Spirit of God just really blessing them. Some of them got up there to share, you know. They wanted to say, they wanted the microphone for a few moments. We were in a church one year. We were baptizing a bunch of people. And we were in the deep, in the waters. And they brought a mic all the way up to where it stood out in, towards the waters. And I remember we were getting ready to baptize somebody. And it was a little younger guy. And he wanted to go grab the mic while he's standing in the water. And you should have seen that congregation come to life. You should have seen me come to life. I was just sure the moment he grabbed that, you would have probably seen a rapture right then, you know. But he didn't grab it, and he got baptized fine. I've seen people cry. I've seen parents come and just sit in the audience and weep as their young people are getting baptized because they know their young people have been saved. And there's a powerful proclamation. Do you know how the Holy Spirit uses symbolism? In the Old Testament, some people call it prophetic symbolism. Even when things are acted out by prophets in front of people, the Spirit of God is giving a message. Please understand how the Holy Spirit speaks, not only through our lips and the reading of the Word of God. He speaks through the actions of our lives. Sometimes you can see somebody go over and minister to somebody or bless somebody. Sometimes somebody is moved prophetically, like in the book of Acts. Abigus, the prophet. God was foretelling Paul that when he went to Rome, things were going to happen. So the prophet came in. The apostle Paul was there. He took somebody's belt and he wrapped himself up in the belt. And he said to the apostle Paul, when you go to Rome, it's going to be just like this. You're going to be tied up and bound. And he gave him a prophetic word about what was going to happen in his life. But he did it in prophetic symbolism by taking a belt and tying himself up. God speaks through that kind of symbolism. The Holy Spirit uses it. So the Holy Spirit will use baptism. And he'll speak. Even if someone comes up to you later and says, what does it mean? You know, why do you have to go all the way in the water, come all the way out of the water? You already know that now, don't you? Well, don't you know, my friend? That is because Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, came and he went to a cross. And there he died and was buried just like the prophets hundreds of years said he would be. And he was buried and left in the ground dead. But God, by the Spirit of holiness, raised him from the dead on the third day in the morning, and he was alive forevermore. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I was once dead, now I'm alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of Hades and death. He holds the keys of life. And so when you see somebody getting baptized, you bring friends, or someone comes by and say, what's that all about? It is your opportunity to say, this is about Jesus Christ. He died. He rose. Do you know him? Are you saved today? Do you know Jesus Christ? Are you born of the Spirit of God? And if you have been born of the Spirit of God, don't have any reluctance about getting baptized. You're obeying the Word of God. You're announcing your faith in Christ. You're announcing that Jesus Christ died and rose. You're announcing, I've given up the old life. God has raised me to a... You know what that's all about? God has a future for you. You read about it in Jeremiah, don't you? He has a future for you to bless you and prosper you, not to harm you. You ever read the beginning of the four spiritual laws, the first law? One of the most used tracts in all the world, in over 100 languages. Spiritual law number one, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. It's about your destiny. When you come into Christ, all the promises of God now are yours. God gives you all of them. And God's going to lead your life and guide your life and direct your life. And he's going to bring you safely home. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. You realize what he's been doing these 2,000 years? Could you imagine the size? There's theological questions that come up in theology classes. Well, how long was Jesus going to prepare a place? Well, he didn't say. He didn't say it'd take him a week. He just said, I'm going to prepare a place. And if he's been doing that ever since, he's been doing it for 2,000 years. So you got to realize how vast paradise is. But your Savior is doing this for you. God loves you and offers you a wonderful life. Baptism, I think, is a proclamation of that. A wonderful life. An eternal life. and you get to proclaim it. And you get to proclaim your old and new life in Christ. And I want you to remember two things. And this is for everybody who's already been baptized. Everybody who's already been baptized, two things for you to remember. Number one, Jesus Christ is alive in your life forever. It's all about that He has come into your life. It is a personal relationship. You know God, and God knows you. You are in a relationship where you can talk to Him and have Him lead your life and guide your life. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Second thing, your life has been changed forever. Baptism symbolically announces it. But it's the Spirit of God and Christ operating in your life who performs it. Your life is changed forever. Not only the moment of salvation, listen, you've been forgiven for everything. You've been loosed from the power of sin over your life. You're now free. The new nature has been planted in your life. There's a new pulsation in all of your being, from your spirit to your soul to your physical body, to where you can feel the presence of God and know that He's dwelling in your life, that He speaks to you now. Jesus Christ is alive. Your life is changed. The Spirit of God is moving in your life to change you into the image of Christ. The Spirit of God is with you forever. So He is alive in you, and you're being changed forever. Listen, if you have come to know the Lord in your life, if you've been saved, anybody else here said, I've been saved, but I haven't been baptized. Anybody else today? I haven't been baptized yet. Listen, you might want to say, you know, I'm signing up now, man. I'm signing up now because the Word of God commands it. Matthew 28. Because it is a tremendous announcement to everybody that I personally believe in Jesus Christ. And I follow Him. It is a public witness and picture of salvation, Jesus, death, resurrection, of your life, death to the old life, raised to a new life, Christ in you, a changed life. Amen? I want you to bow with me this morning. Lord, even as we bow this morning before You and just take a few moments to wait on You, Father, I thank You there's going to be those who are coming tonight to be baptized. I thank You for the thousands and the years past. But I pray today that every single believer here would be encouraged. Would remember how their baptism was. I would pray that it would even be a sense of revival in our personal lives. That we want to keep saying to the rest of the world, you know, hey, I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my Savior. My old life has been passed away. A new life has begun. God is changing me. Jesus is with me. He's in me. And I want to encourage every believer that's out active sharing their faith and encouraging others to get saved and to come to Christ. When you lead somebody to Jesus Christ, that you would encourage them just like the Great Commission. Make a disciple, make sure they get baptized, and make sure they get taught every single thing Jesus is speaking out of the Scriptures. And if you have been saved, and if you have been baptized, don't forget that third part. Learn verse by verse the Word of God. Learn verse by verse what it is that Jesus wants you to know. There is so much that He wants you to know. There are so many things He wants you to be, you know, to have revealed to you. In the act of baptism, just like Jesus says, we say in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This gives the entire biblical picture of the triune God and of the attributes of God and of the mystery of God, an awesome God. In that baptism, there is a declaration of one God in all of heaven and earth. A declaration of His character, of His intent, of His attributes. So I pray, Father, tonight, as we gather for picnic, as we gather in for the baptism time, all those who are going to be baptized, I'm going to ask You, Lord Jesus, bless them tonight. Bless them and encourage them and enrich their lives. And bless all of us who watch. Let that act speak to us again. Let it be an act of revival in our lives. about Jesus Christ and all that He is and all that He's done. We love You, Father. And now I pray the Holy Spirit minister to every heart, every life. Jesus, come in to save. Bring Your healing to every life and bring Your work. Move in us this time of invitation, Lord, and this ministry time we're going to have. And minister to every life and touch our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody says, let's stand together this morning. And altar counselors are going to come down and they're going to get ready just to pray with you. They're prepared. All those who are out, altar counselors, now just come on down. They're ready. The Holy Spirit is here right now to minister to your life. If you're not sure of salvation, you want to come and be sure. Come and talk to somebody this morning. If you need prayer today, just seeking the Lord in some way, just come on down and just get before the Lord. Maybe it's baptism and you say, man, I want to come and I want to be baptized. And we want to celebrate that with you today. We encourage you to come. Whatever the reasons this morning, as the Lord is leading you. And those who are mature among us, and we know those who are Spirit-filled and mature, if you feel led by the Lord to go minister to somebody, give a word, pray for somebody, go to them direct.
Supply the wealth of life. Still more awesome than love. Oh, my Lord, you've living for. Still more awesome than I know. And I love you more than enough for. All of me, for every thirst and every need, You satisfy me with Your love. And all I have in You is more than enough. Sacrifice, greatest price. Still more awesome than I know. You're my coming King. You're everything. Still more awesome than I know. 'Cause I love You. It's more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need, You satisfy me with Your love. All I have you is more than enough. Enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need, You satisfy me with Your love. And all I have in You is more than enough. More than enough. It's more than enough. Darling, you know, it's more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love. Darling, having you is more than enough.
Just for a moment this morning, just as the Lord is just ministering to some others and just waiting on the Lord. Listen, if there's anybody else here that needs to be baptized to follow the Lord, you're saved but you've not been baptized, I want to encourage you to get ready to come. Even if you're not going to be able to be here tonight, we have baptism every month. And next month, by God's blessing, we'll be out in the lakes even. But just be committed to it and get ready for it. If you're here also and the Holy Spirit's led you to be a member of this fellowship, and we want to encourage you that if God has called you to be a part and to be a part of a local body, He wants every Christian in some church somewhere and to be known and to be a part of it. So I want to just take a moment this morning. If you're saved and you've been among us for a while and you feel God said, this is where I'm planting you, I want you just to come forward, because what we do is we just simply receive you and acknowledge that and want to pray a blessing on you and help you with materials to learn about the fellowship and the vision and mission. But here in this last few moments to say, you know what? I feel called to this local fellowship. I want to be a servant of God, and I want to be a part of the mission and vision. Just step forward this morning. We'll just take a few moments for it. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Would you do a prayer blessing? Pray this morning the Holy Spirit leads you. He wants to let you be a servant. But listen, the Word of God teaches you, you can never be that outside the body of Christ. You need to be inside the body. In a local body and in a local family, a fellowship. So I encourage you this morning, if you want to be, if you feel led to be a part of the fellowship, just come on. God has placed you and you want to be known among us and be a part. Anybody else this morning? A few more seconds this morning. Anybody else? Even after services, if you need somebody to pray with you, just look around. There's a lot of folks here that can. Sometimes in this fellowship, someone may walk up to you and say, you know, I looked over at you and the Lord gave me a word for you, or the Lord gave me a prayer for you, or the Lord showed me something about your life and He wants me to share it. And so that happens a lot around here. Everybody says, amen. Well, before you leave this morning, let me just stay down here. Stephanie's here, and I'm going to let Vicky just kind of introduce her real quick. Stephanie, if you just turn around, and she's come also to say she wants to be a part of the fellowship, and we want to just say all those who receive her into the fellowship right now by the raising of hands. And that's our pledge, to love her and build her up in faith and strengthen her. She says she wants to get baptized. She knows the Lord. She lives right in this neighborhood. And so we're glad to have her. So let's thank the Lord for her too. Donna, I want you to introduce right here another sister in the Lord. Did you hear that? Melissa. Okay? Amen.
Donna, we know you're loud.
Yeah, we know Donna can speak louder than that. Melissa's come also to be a part of the fellowship. She's been among us for a little bit. And all those who will just receive her into the fellowship by the raising of hands and our commitment to love her and bless her and build her. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, Carl's not really a first-time visitor. I want you to know this. Years ago when Dr. Martin Boyd was among us and so forth, they met Carl years and years ago. And ministry was occurring then. Then we lost connection for years. And here he was just surrendering the Lord out there, reading his Bible. He even had an extra Bible in his pocket because he was looking for somebody Friday night to witness to and give a Bible to. And when I walked through there and turned around, he looked up and saw, there's Pastor Russ. He's been praying to find this church and to find us. And the Lord caused it to happen Friday night. And Carl's come to say right now, he knows he wants to be a part of this fellowship. And so for many of us, it's like, this is the first time Carl's been here. But he's been here before, years ago, and God helped him find it again. All those who want to receive Carl in the fellowship today, amen. That's our love, our commitment, and our reception of Carl today. And let's thank the Lord. Amen. Father, right now we ask you to bless them and strengthen them and encourage their lives. We thank you, Lord, that you've not only saved them and blessed them, and some have been baptized, and I know Stephanie wants to get baptized, and we thank you for that, Lord, and the great celebration that'll be too. And we ask you right now as a church, bless them, strengthen them, cause us to remember to love one another as you've loved us, to feed one another, strengthen one another, and minister to one another. God, make them servants of Christ and encourage their lives. Thank you for them today. And we receive them, Father, in your sight and under the headship of Jesus, Lord, as our part of our family right here. In Jesus' name, everybody says, don't forget to come up, introduce yourself, and welcome them in the Lord. Let them know your name.